Okay.
Oh, hi.
We're on.
Hello.
Okay, so this is Guitar Jar, podcast number one. Really, it's podcast number two. We had an attempt of recording a podcast the other day. My name's Sam. I'm the guy who's behind guitarjar.co.uk. And I'm joined with me today by my good friend Ben Jammin, who you may have seen on the Bristol Guitar Show video that I knocked up earlier this year.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Nice to see you. So really, this is our first one that you guys have actually heard, but it's the second one that we've made in about 2 weeks, because the first one that we really made was in a fire escape of the Marriott Hotel in Bristol.
We had time during the evacuation procedure to have a quick chat, which was supposed to be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Ending up about an hour and 10.
And the quality of it was, oh man, it was dire.
Well, you know, not the content here. But
the quality. No, as in the sound quality.
Yeah.
And
the Stella was poor in that hotel, but I'm not knocking the Marriott or any other type of
the
hotel.
The Marriott chain. Yeah. So really, the idea behind this podcast is just to have a quick chat. All things guitar. The main one for this one is just to have a bit of a review for the first 6 months of Guitar Jar, really. Very, very quickly, just to highlight a few things that I've really enjoyed getting involved with over the last few months. And hopefully we'll be doing this again ongoing. We're actually, instead of being in a fire escape of the Marriott Hotel, we're in a completely different surrounding now. Completely different. We're actually in sunny Wimborne, in Dorset, UK, and we're in the basement studios, which is
underground.
It's pretty good actually. So we're actually sat here with some kind of mixer, a laptop, a couple of mics, but looking through the sound recording window, we've got all our guitar stuff all ready to go. So as soon as we down tools, in about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or so.
Okay, that's a Kit Kat.
That's it. We're gonna start playing, which is the added bonus of doing it here, I guess. Which is good stuff.
Cheers to Brian.
Yeah, Brian sorts us out. Interestingly, some of the things I wanted to talk about was one of the guys who I interviewed early on in guitar. I think he was possibly the first guy I interviewed. It's a guy called Steve Perry, and he's in a band called Carmine, who actually rehearse here, and I'm looking right at his Marshall 4x12 cab, which would look quite nice in my lounge.
He's kindly left it behind for
us. Yeah. Cheers, Steve, if you're listening. So they record here. Yeah, I mean, nice. Well, I don't know about record here. They definitely rehearse here. And there's quite a few bands in the south coast of the UK who started to use this place. So if you are listening to this and you're looking for somewhere to rehearse and you're based down south in the UK, definitely Google Basement Wimborne and you should be able to find them at the top of the Google listings.
It's a treasure TARDIS of a spot.
So apologies for my somewhat croaky voice. I've been suffering since Christmas Day. It's just before New Year's Eve here, and since Christmas Day, I've been dying of man flu, which means I'm trying to get lots of sympathy from a lot of people, failing miserably.
Yeah, mine's a teammate.
Yeah, yeah, you want a tea? Yeah. Where do you want it? Yeah. So, first things first then. Nice to see you, Ben. Did you have a good Christmas?
Well, it's a bonanza, actually, yeah. I've got some younglings coming through in the family, so... managed to get hold of a huge Land Rover remote control truck, which I think, well, I bought it for my nephew, but I was quite quick to get it out of the box on Christmas Day.
Did you let him play with it at all?
Yeah, well, he drove it around without the remote. He lost the concept that actually needed, because he's used to driving cars and pushing big trucks, you know, to make noises. And so he pushed it along, made the truck noise. Anyway, we had to charge four hours, put the battery in the back of the truck, turned it on, and it only works upside down. So we called it the iLand Rover. and I'm very quickly heading to Argus to tell them about a complete disaster on Christmas Day. The remote control car didn't work. So we had to drop back to pushing it around the room all day.
That's the old school.
Which kind of added just as much fun anyway. So.
Pushing toys around? God, so 20th century.
Still, it worked.
Did you get any guitar presents?
Did I? Well, no. Yes, I did actually. I've picked up a microphone, new microphone, vocal mic.
Okay.
Which I'm hoping to use later on, which is an AKG D5, quite medium range.
Is that the one I'm currently holding?
You're fingering, yes, right now, so don't lick it again.
I might spit in it just a little bit for you, just to christen it.
It's a bit like an ice cream.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good mic.
Bit of food in there for you as well, mate. Right. Just to, you know.
Lovely.
See it into the world.
How come you've got mine and I'm using this? Oh, it's not a bad mic's down here actually. Well, I got a Shure 58, which is as everyone knows, it's a damn good mic.
I got a string winder for Christmas. That's about as much as my Christmas presents went, which is nice. Got built-in sort of string cutter on the end,
okay,
which is like quite nice. But I got a voucher as well for a local music shop, so I'm quite tempted to go down there and purchase. I've got my eye on a little effects pedal at the minute. Mm. Quite fancy one of those Digitech hardwire tremolo pedals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite fancy one of those.
Can I just drop back to your other present? So you're coiling your own strings these days? You're a wire stringer? Sorry.
String winder.
A string winder, yeah. Now I'm with it. It's not for winding strings.
No, winding my own strings at home.
I thought, you know, you're doing well there.
Yeah.
Just a lot of patience, surely.
Yeah.
Steady hand.
Yeah, both of which I'm lacking severely, patience and steadiness. Okay, well, it's the end of 2010, just about to start. 2011 has been a good year. The beginning of 2010, Guitar Jar didn't even exist in my mind. It was really just a spontaneous thing that happened one day. During May this year, but at the very, very beginning, probably actually this time last year, Ben and myself met up, and we meet up quite often because we work in different locations across the UK, and wherever we are at that moment in time, we sort of text each other to see where we're at, and if we're vaguely local to each other, we try and hunt down an open mic night.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it turned out that an open mic kind of folk night, so a bit of folk music, was taking place in where we are now in Wimborne in Dorset, UK, and we went to this place to check it out. So I don't know how many people listening to this have been to any folk open mic nights, but I haven't been to anything quite like this in my life before, really. It's in a place called Gaunt's House, and if you're not aware of what Gaunt's House is, it's kind of this old English manor house that is steeped in family history, and it's been owned by the same family for like hundreds and hundreds of years. But it's kind of now used as a commune of some kind.
And a hippie dude.
It's kind of a lot of peace and love. And they're quite into alternative, I don't know what you want to call it.
Living.
Alternative living.
Yeah.
Alternative living. Yeah. But once a month on a Monday night, they open it up for the local folk.
Good to them for that, thank you.
I've never seen, well, the standard of musicianship in that place is unreal. Unreal. I mean, you can pay a lot of money to go to a lot of gigs and watch some really good guitarists, but sat in that old manor house with these guys all across the south coast of the UK, all turning up with their little acoustics in their hand, played possibly the finest guitar music that I saw in the whole of 2010.
Up close and personal.
Yeah, great.
And we're missing the old lady with the accordion, but that was somewhere else also.
Yeah,
I mean, we bumped into the couple. There was a duo, which was the lady whose name I missed, but the band were called Tinderbox, weren't they?
Oh yeah.
And we were down to play. You know, the idea was we'd do something off the cuff as usual and just jump on in there with 2 feet and see what happened. After the second act, well, the first act, which was a man who stood up. Proud as Larry.
No guitar. No instruments.
2 foot from about 15 people and proceeded to sing unaccompanied yet. Chant from the heart. Songs that were older than the land itself. And
yeah.
And I don't know what our faces looked like, but the chap said afterwards he couldn't tell from our faces whether we were horrified or whether we were enjoying ourselves. So I think that generally shows it hit the spot in terms of what folk is quite capable of.
We just weren't expecting anything like it. I think we were expecting a typical open mic night where the whole night is pretty much run by the pub landlord, and that pub landlord dominates proceedings and maybe lets a few people have a go on a guitar. But this was completely opposite. For a start, it wasn't even in a pub. It was in an old manor house, and it was with a whole bunch of guys. We were by far the youngest people there, really, weren't we?
Well, then the couple were...
Oh, no, they were quite young.
They were late
20s. Tinderbox were quite young.
Obviously much older than us, but in their late 20s. Me, sorry.
But it was great, really good. And that pretty much set the scene for 2010 for us, really, didn't it, music-wise. And since then, we've been to back there a couple of times, played there a couple of times, which was... interesting, I think.
Sweaty.
It was hard work because the musicianship's so good, and you just kind of play, and they're just so polite.
No,
they're
hiding behind
they're just
anything.
Like, they clap, don't they? Like, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ben, for bringing that to us and sharing your music with the rest of us here.
And the intensity is very intense, as you say, you know, a very attentive audience. In that they're not just an audience, they're all musicians in their own right. So as most mic nights are, really decent ones, you get really high concentrations of musicians usually. I don't know if that's a generalisation, but and because everybody joins in. So that it was freezing, absolutely freezing.
Oh, I remember that, I had a chest infection as well, didn't I?
Yeah, like now, so there we go, every 12 months.
It's my annual illness, over the Christmas break.
Yeah. Could be something to do with what beer you're drinking, or perhaps too much eating.
Too much eating. Yeah. Too much festivity.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
Too much. Yeah. Okay. Right. Quickly moving on then. So that set the scene for the year. Been to a few open mic nights throughout the course of the year. One in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Which is reopened.
Has it?
Railway? No.
No.
Railway
was Winch. I can't remember the name of the place in Portsmouth, but it was good.
Yeah, damn good. It was that good.
It was good that it closed as soon as we finished.
Yeah. The back room is actually, it's Ronnie's something or other, Ronnie's Spot. Similar to the London.
Not Ronnie's Spot.
No, it's not. It's Ronnie's Spot or something. Something like that. Anyway, they've got a separate license to the bar now. So I believe it's reopened and is running really well. I mean, they had it really organised. We arrived, they were doing a drum set.
Yeah, that's right.
The room was full of noise, and it just got busier and busier as the evening went on. A good little spot. Portsmouth. Shantytown.
I love Portsmouth. Right. Great place. Newbury. Hate Newbury, but there's a great pub in Newbury. Was it the Snooty Fox?
Yeah.
Good for live music. Mm-hmm. Good for open mic nights. Been to any decent gigs this year?
Yeah, well, I saw Bellowhead. They were damn good live, actually. Mainly been knocking at smaller folk festivals, to completely confess.
So you've been rooting the folk scene quite hard.
Yeah, obviously West Somerset Folk Festival seems to go well. We've got Watch It Music Festival.
Where's that?
Really good. So did you say Where's Watch It?
Where's Watch It?
Well, there's a place called the West Country around Watch It.
I've heard of the West Country.
Yeah,
it's past Weymouth.
You need to ask permission when you
to leave
across the border. you're free to leave at any time whatsoever, and take your belongings with you. But no, it's a great town, very welcoming. It's just near Exmoor, so they have a festival last bonk holiday in August every year. Bonk holiday in August.
That's posh.
And it's a busier do, so it's going well. And then Purbeck Folk Festival, which was great. Bumped into Tinderbox again. Loads of great music, sing-arounds by the fires. And
cool.
Quite a lot of amplified acoustics, which were making some interesting distortions.
Cool.
One, two. One, two, three, four.
I haven't done much in the way of gigs myself. Went to Sonosphere Festival this year, so completely different to the folk festivals that you've been going to. This was a full-on metal fest. Slayer were playing, which was interesting. I've seen Slayer play before. I'm not a big Slayer fan by any stretch, but I appreciate their talent. They're great guitarists and just a great band. But man, I love my rock music and I love metal music, but I've never seen so many violent people in all my life. It was full on, but it was great fun. Great fun. Maiden were headlining, which is Maiden. You know, I'm full on Maiden fan.
Scream for me, Long Beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Scream for me. So that was good. Good to see Maiden again. They rocked it, actually, and I loved every minute of it. But the highlight for me out of Sonosphere was this band called Skindred. I thoroughly recommend them. I've never seen them or heard of them before. The guy I went with, Jamie, he said, "Oh man, we've got whatever we're doing, we've got to watch Skindred." And I was like, okay, cool. But they really, for me, were the band of the festival. They're kind of it's hard to describe them, really, sort of punk rock with a kind of a Jamaican reggae type vibe flowing through the middle of it. They're just a great festival band. And
punk ska,
yeah, kind of, but they just rock it out. They're really, really good fun. And a great front man, great guitarist, just great all round. The sort of band that even if you're not into that style of music, you see them at a festival, you can't help but get caught up with their enthusiasm and, you know, the whole vibe of it. I thoroughly recommend them. I'm off to see them again in May, which would be quite good. And it's completely different surrounding, and a small little venue in Poole, Dorset. So that'd be interesting to see them in that kind of setup compared to, say, at Nebworth Park, which is where.
Whereabouts is it?
What, in Poole?
Yeah.
It's in a venue called Courts,
right,
which is just a small little venue. Great. Just in off the centre of town. So Skindred, thoroughly recommend them, live especially. Great band.
Moon Stompers.
Just going back to some guitar jar highlights of the year before we kind of wrap up our first little podcast for today. Things that I really enjoyed doing were mainly the interviews. The thing I love about Guitar Jar is that the idea behind the website is to encourage and inspire other guitarists, really. So I love the whole thing of highlighting guitar talent, whether that's a guitarist who is gigging every Friday at his local pub or her local pub, or through to a guitarist who might have international albums and played arenas. It doesn't make any difference to me. For me, it's all about, you know, helping to expose their talents even further. And there's been a whole range of different interviews on the site so far, and I've really enjoyed them all. Interviews I quite liked involve Glenn Johansson. He's the guitarist from an old school 90s indie band called Echo Belly. Him and the lead singer of Echo Belly have got back together and started a new band called Calm of Zero. And we had the joy of actually checking them out at the railway, yeah, in Winchester. And we got to meet Glenn afterwards as well. And really nice bloke. And they did an acoustic version of Dark Therapy, which is an old Echo Belly song. And that is probably one of the highlights of 2010 for me, the interview, and then following it up by seeing them play that song live and getting to meet Glenn afterwards. So that was really fun. Enjoyed the interview with Stu G, who's a guitarist. He used to play in a band called Delirious. He's now in a band called One Sonic Society, and he's just an all-round great guitarist. And he's one of those guitarists who just oozes tone, and it was just great to pick his brains really about his kit and his style of playing. The other thing I like about Guitar Jar is that not only do we get an opportunity to interview guitarists, we get an opportunity to interview and help to encourage and expose the talents of independent manufacturers. So whether they're guitar manufacturers or pickup manufacturers or effects pedal manufacturers, if it's guitar related and they're sort of the man on the street type sort of business, you know, that some guy winding a pickup at home or knocking up effects pedals at home or whatever it may be. You know, we're really, really into that. And there's been a whole range of different interviews we've done in the last 6 months with these sort of smaller independent guys. Some of the interviews that really stand out to me, there's a guy called Daniel Steinhardt. He's quite a well-known, respected guy in the sort of the effects pedal scene. Mm-hmm. And he produces an effects switching unit called the Gig Rig, as well as a whole load of other accessories to do with the Gig Rig. And he is just a complete brain when it comes to all things effects. And it was really interesting to interview him. It was a really quite a honest, in-depth interview. I really enjoyed reading that and putting it together.
I've seen a recent Ross ROHS compliance article. That's certainly got a bit of interest.
Yeah, right, with the sort of the limitations of importing sort of US, mainly US effects pedals, because they may not meet the EU standards of using various components and solder and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
We actually met Daniel Steinhardt years ago. Not that we ever said anything to him when we did the interview, but back a few years back, we went to a guitar show in London.
Yes.
Somewhere, don't know, can't remember. Was it?
It's Wembley, wasn't it?
Was it Wembley?
Wembley Arena, yeah.
I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they moved it.
Yeah, it was at Wembley, and Daniel Steinhardt had this whole rig set, this room that was just with effects pedals all over the walls, and it was crazy. And we went in there and had a good chat with him for about half an hour. Yeah. So it was quite nice to sort of actually do a proper interview with him years and years afterwards, which is quite bizarre. So it's not like we're stalking him or anything, but we did meet him a little while back. Other manufacturers. Did an interview with a US-based company called Porter Pickups. These guys are quite similar to what Bare Knuckle do here in the UK. Wind custom pickups for your guitar, various humbuckers, single coil pickups as well. Nice to interview them. Mm-hmm. And Beryl Guitars is another company I really enjoyed sort of helping to give them a bit more exposure and have a nice relationship with them. And they're a really good bunch of guys. The good thing about Beryl Guitars, and with pretty much every other company that we've interviewed on Guitar Jar, everyone just comes across as just being so sound and so down to earth. And Beryl, a company who are starting out, got some great products in the marketplace now, and I just wish them all the best, really. They deserve it. They're just really good, down to earth, friendly, hardworking guys.
Yeah, because we bumped into them at Bristol Guitar Show.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
They got the flash headstock, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a nice headstock, yeah. Mm. But their guitars play brilliantly, and for the price, you know, if I had the cash, I would probably go for one of those over their competitors, really, because they just play and sound fantastic. Another manufacturer, Protone Pedals, based out in the States. These guys actually, Protone, they're probably the main inspiration for why we're doing this podcast, because they answered some of the interview questions that I put forward to them, and they did it as a podcast, which was great, and that really inspired me. So thanks to them, we are picking up the microphone this time, as opposed to being stuck in a fire escape in the Marriott Hotel. We're actually doing it properly this time, but thanks to them, they've kind of inspired this. But they make a whole load of decent effects. Avalon Guitars, brilliant manufacturer for high-end acoustic guitars. They gave an excellent interview, really good. Rick Jones is a guitarist who uses Avalon Guitars, and it's worth checking his interview out, because he's just a real sort of down-to-earth guitarist. You know, he gets his acoustic guitar and he just rips the hell out of it, really, and sings from and plays from his heart, really wears it on his sleeve. Really enjoyed that. And one of the other interviews I really enjoyed was Chicken Bone John, who makes those cigar box guitars. And we bumped into him at the Bristol Guitar Show as well. But oh, so great. What you can get out of it, you know, the sounds you can get out of just one string, you know, or a couple of strings.
It's magic.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
An oil can.
But his interview is really worth a read. Really funny guy. And he's got a lot of stories to tell. So I really enjoyed that. But other things on the site that I'm really pleased at how it's gone so far. I really loved in the mystery shopper section. That's just great fun because...
Power to the shopper.
It's just great because I'm on the road quite a lot with my boring 9-to-5 job. And, to break up the day, if there's a guitar shop in the local area, I Google it and I go and check it out. I walk in, have a good look around, maybe chat to the staff if they're that chatty, buy a pack of strings, and I summarise the whole thing and stick it on the website. And it's been a really interesting one. Most of the shops have been great, actually. They had no idea that I was in there to do a mystery shop. One or two shops have been a bit weird. Without mentioning too many names, I'll let you guys read those. It's really good fun. And interestingly, the mystery shopper articles are the articles that get most of the sort of web traffic, really. So people are obviously kind of Googling where to buy X, Y, and Z, item, and coming across the articles and having a good read. So,
can I just feel free, anybody visiting shops wants to go in slightly empowered with a secret hat on, post your article.
Yes.
Guitar jar.
Yeah, right.
Your local shop, pop out, review it today. You got 10 minutes, half an hour. Obviously, not too nasty or sly questions, play it fair. But that's the idea.
Yeah, so.
Hit up your local shop.
Yeah, that'd be good. And I try and be as open minded as possible, but at the end of the day, I'm a customer, and I guess as a customer, we expect, or should expect, really, some kind of standard. I don't know.
I think it's good to pop in with something what you want, exactly what you want, and you might already be aware of two or three prices, net prices, and then you can make the decision whether you're willing to pay that little bit extra to a store for the advice that they're willing to give, which is surely a basic request you can make when you're shopping for kit, and that's great that some shops just blew me away, and other shops, they seem to shy away from a direct question. There's some people that can't answer, some basics. So it's a really interesting way to get away up and especially when you're turning over a lot of strings, pop to a different shop. Next time you visit a mate in the next town, go and check out another supplier and see how it works with your regular shop.
Preach it, Ben.
Offwatch.com of guitar shops.
Okay, so mystery shopper, really enjoy doing that. A couple of other categories on the site that I'm quite into, and I'm quite into the one that's called Are You Experienced? And the idea behind that is that guitarists ourselves, whoever that may be, as in the man on the street, so if you're listening to this and you fancy writing something, the Are You Experienced section is great because it's all about real world experiences of playing the guitar. So that can be anything from learning methods or breakthroughs you've had in your sort of development of learning the instrument, or maybe you've decided that you're an acoustic player as opposed to an electric player and reasons for that, or whatever it may be. And the first article I added to that section was about the first gig I ever played at, which was at the Beer Engine in Coventry. But actually, it's the first gig that we played at because you were there.
I do recall.
That was a great night. And that, for me, it was just a dream come true, really. Sounds a bit lame to say that, doesn't it? But, how old were we? 21 or something?
20.
20 years old. Been playing guitar for a few months and... to get the opportunity to have your first gig.
Yeah, it's about 100 plus, thousands of people. But
in our minds, we're talking about what? The pub was pretty busy, though.
There was 100 people in there. We took £324 for charity that night.
Charity?
I don't know whose pocket that went in.
No, some geezer tax-free. In Coventry. Yeah. he had a good night.
And we were supporting Spark and Jester. We were an amazing band. Had a wicked drummer. And they invited us along, and we managed to jump in. And I remember Sam had left uni already.
Yeah, I bolted after a few months.
So Stevie Chuck Norris, our lead guitarist, gave him a quick call. And it kind of went from there. But usual thing with the... Well, it might not be usual, but we obviously had to interchange instruments.
Because
sight went wrong with...
We didn't have a drummer at the time, did we?
No drumsticks either.
Yeah, we didn't have a drummer, and we didn't have any drumsticks. So
or a bassist.
And we didn't have a bassist? Did we not have a bassist?
No. But we're Nobody would demote themselves from the...
Demote. Do you know what? I think the bass is the coolest...
I do apologise for that.
The bass is the coolest instrument in the band, I reckon.
Roots. As a reggae fan, I hope I can retract that statement to a little bit more humble status. That bass is where it's at.
I remember getting a phone call saying, Sam, do you fancy coming up to Coventry tomorrow for a gig? And at the time I was packing tea bags in a factory with no windows. And I had to wear a hairnet every day. And it is probably the most soul-destroying job
later
I've ever had.
On the website, by the way.
Yeah. And I was like, there's no question. So I just phoned in sick, got the train with my Yamaha Pacifica in hand, and went for it.
We didn't have a set. We didn't have songs we could play.
We figured out an intro to a Beatles song, didn't we?
Help.
Yeah, we needed some help as well.
That went down a scream.
I was on drums for that.
Yeah.
I can't even play the drums.
Drums with coat hanger. No, we actually borrowed the drum sticks.
We actually had drum sticks.
Yeah. And mics.
Yeah.
And fallbacks.
Amazing. Oh, luxury.
Lights in your face.
Yeah, remember that.
Just a really good gift that Spark and Jester allowed us to come along to that. And then we had friends turn up and it went really well.
I think we did a couple of Oasis tracks as well, didn't we?
Yeah, yes.
What did we do? Live Forever?
Yeah.
Live Forever!
And also Talk Tonight, which was a wonderful tune.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good night. And it seems sad to say it was a bit of a dream come true, but I think as when you're a guitarist, especially when you're first starting out, all you want to do is play live. And that bug of wanting to play live has never left me, really. That's what it's all about. I just want to play.
It's the days leading up. It's the practice, last final practice you make. How desperate those moments are when you're about to walk out there and what happens when you finally get to release.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I love that. Yeah. So that's the RU Experience section. And apart from that, there's a whole load of other stuff on the site. It's been great. It's been a great 6 months. It's great that we've got some other people involved with the website now. So other people around the world, ranging from Canada right through to Scotland and here in England. And I think there's going to be somebody out sort of Australia way who's going to get on board as well, but we're kind of tying that up. Yeah. So other people are getting involved with writing articles. And we got a whole lot of lessons on there as well now.
Yeah,
and that's
they
all
cost a fortune normally. That's a bargain, hunters beware.
There's some good lessons on there, and that's all managed by a guy called Lewis Turner, who's a full-time sort of guitar teacher in a college in Hertfordshire, and everything gets kind of scrutinized by him first to maintain a level of consistency of the standard of lessons. That's really good.
Cheers.
And I really enjoy that. And there's a whole lot of competitions on there as well. And I'm trying my best to get competitions up there regularly, because as a guitarist, I can't think of anything better than just getting
free stuff.
Yeah. So keep your eyes out for guitar
Marshall
competitions.
Competition.
Yeah, that 4x12 Marshall cab that we're looking at right now. Steve Perry from Carmine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. There's a mention.
And there's a drum kit over there as well through the glass. In fact, this mixing desk. That'll do, right?
We need to saw it in half. It won't fit through that door.
Yeah, we could run two competitions then, half each. Cool. So that's that. So it's just good to have a quick chat. Good to review a couple of things on the site, but really it's just an opportunity to say if you've been a regular reader of Guitar Jar, thank you very much. Keep going. We've got some really good things planned for 2011. Some quite exciting things in the pipeline. Keep your eyes peeled
slope.
For that. keep your eyes peeled for that. And if this is your first time of coming across Guitar Jar, and you're not really too sure what it's about, just have a good look around. And if you want to get involved, if you want to write a user review of your guitar-based equipment, just go for it. There's a link on the website at the very top where it says add a review, and you can contribute that way, or you can contribute by adding to the RU Experience section. So we want to hear from real guitarists who've been in real situations. The funnier, the better as well. That's just always a good thing.
Yeah, it's got to be at least make the effort. No, that's great.
I'm kind of hoping as well, I'm kind of saying this on the fly, that using the technology, that we kind of have here in front of us. I'm hoping that also you might have heard some music as well by now. But I might just be saying this now.
Yeah, our guest musicians has arrived. Yes.
So if you haven't heard any music, apologies. And if you have, kind of hoping it works. So I'm going to slice that in, hopefully. But I don't know if it's going to work yet. So we'll give it a go. Okay, so until the next time.
Cheers for listening.
Cheers, Ben.
Cheers, Sal.
Bye.
Bye, then. We'll be right back.